My text this morning, we'll start in John chapter 10.
All right.
John chapter 10, and we'll pick up verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with the shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" Tim McHenry, will you open us up in prayer this morning?
Father, we praise your great name because of your righteousness. We praise your great name because it's not something that's a title that you bestow on us, where we remain what we were, but rather you impart it to us through the blood of our Lord Jesus and through our obedience to your word. Father, we praise your great name because we are partakers of your divine nature. And we praise your great name, Father, that our Lord Jesus, who is a truly good shepherd, who guides us and directs us in a way that we will go, that will not only lead us to eternal life, but to your very character as well. And what an awesome thing to be a partaker of. What an awesome blessing to be able to have hope in and to experience. Father, we ask now that you'll please give us all wisdom this morning. Wisdom is so awesome. The things that we get to see through wisdom, just the foolish, just cannot be old. It's truly amazing. And we pray that we may have this wisdom. We pray, Father, that again, your word will stimulate us to further growth and the attaining to the resurrection from the dead. It's through Jesus, our holy and awesome Lord's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." He immediately sets a distinction between the good shepherd and the hireling. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And when Jesus says that, this is coming on the heels of his encounter with the blind man. Back in John 9, Jesus noticed a blind man, a beggar, a blind man from birth. And the good shepherd takes care of that sheep. But the hirelings aren't interested in that beggar. They're just interested in preserving what's their own. And they see the good shepherd as threatening that. The good shepherd establishes that he's the one that loves the sheep. He's the one that cares for the sheep. Back several years ago, about 12 or 13 years ago, when I lived in Virginia, I was working for a CPA firm, and the owner was a small firm. It was just three of us. And the owner was a very entrepreneurial CPA, something you don't see that often. But he loved to generate business ideas and actually put them into practice. And one of those he called, and he loved acronyms, one of those he called DEAL. And D deal was a deal that he was going to pitch it to small business owners that were looking to retire in the next 5 to 7 years. And what we were going to go in and do is, D, we were going to determine the value. We were going to look and see, what's your business worth today? And then, based on what we find, we're going to look at ways to, E, enhance the value, to see what you could be doing better, what you could do to position yourself for sale going forward. And A was achieve the value. We were going to become business brokers too. And we were going to sell your business for you. And we got 10% of that. And then L, we were going to combine with an investment guy. And we're going to leverage the value. We're going to take what the 90% that you kept, and then after taxes, and we're going to help you invest that. And my part was the D, determine the value. So I didn't know anything about business valuation, so he sent me to Las Vegas for a week to learn how to value businesses. And I took a class, and I learned all about discount rates and capitalization rates, and I came out, and I didn't know much more about valuing a business from the day I started. What I did, what I have found in valuing businesses and anything else is, if you want to determine the value of something, if you want to know what something is worth, something's worth what somebody pays for.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what somebody, what something is worth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Flip over 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Excuse me, Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you that this day I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We were redeemed, purchased, bought with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Something that is imperishable. He values the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. He purchased the sheep with his blood. And I didn't know much about, like Steve, about sheep either. I'm not from a ranch. I'm not from a farm. I'm from the suburbs outside of Richmond, Virginia, and there aren't many sheep there. But I did go and peruse the discount bookstore, and I looked at this book. It's called "Today I Baled Some Hay to Feed the Sheep the Coyotes Eat." And I thought I might pick something out about a shepherd out of that book and learn more and more about sheep. And I didn't learn a whole lot, to be honest with you. But I did find it interesting that the sheep farmer, he's pretty honest, and he said the sheep themselves, one sheep doesn't have a whole lot of value. He says, as a matter of fact, nothing like, you know, when the cattle ranchers, when there's an issue, when cows calving and there's a problem, they call the vet, because that's a lot of money. He said, but the sheep, you learn to do it on your own, because the vet bill is more than the sheep is worth. You know, we have been bought at a price, purchased. The good shepherd values the sheep. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 1. Remind them to be subject to the rulers. Remind them to be subject to the rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of our God and Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And it's not our deeds. It's not on the basis of deeds that gives us value, but it's according to His mercy.
Amen.
He laid down His life for the sheep. He values you. He values the sheep. And He knows His sheep. Go back to John chapter 10, our main text. How much does He value you? Verse 14, He says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." In John 15, "The greater man have no greater love have no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends." That's how much He values you. You follow His commandments. You're His friends. He knows you intimately. He values the relationship that He has with you and with me. He's genuinely interested. He values the sheep. Now, people need to know that they have value. Mark's doing a study on marriage and goes into the difference between men and women. He's been doing that here the last several weeks in Missoula. And, you know, people need to know they have value. He brings out that women need to know they have value, that they're worth loving. And men need respect. Men need to know that they're believed in, that they've got what it takes. You know, my mom and dad were visiting. Men need to know that we have value. My mom and dad were visiting. They drove out a few weeks ago from our month or so ago from Virginia, and they were here over the weekend. If you're in Missoula for the weekend on a Friday night, the only show in town is the Christchurch Camel softball team. And so that's what Mom and Dad, that's what they were doing on Friday night. And so they came to our softball game, and Mark, he leaned over to me in the dugout, and he said, "So how many years is this now that your dad's been coming to your softball games? Or your baseball games, your little league games?" And I kind of laughed it off, and got up to plate first inning, and like I normally do, and just kind of survey the field a little bit because I can't hit with power, so I got to find the gaps in the spots. And as I was surveying the field, you know what I found myself doing? Looking back to make sure Dad was looking. You know, I'm 45 years old and relatively well adjusted and stable. And I wanted to know and to see that my dad was watching. Yeah. You know, I had his approval. Yeah. I still had value to him. And I grew up him telling me that he loved me and that he was proud of me. The good shepherd values the sheep. And he lets the sheep know right off the bat, "I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, we have to be reminded of that, because as men, sometimes we forget that we have value, that we don't value ourselves. See, we know back in that first couple of verses of Titus 3 that we read, we know where we came from, and sometimes that raises its ugly head. He said, "For we were once," in verse 3, Titus 3, "we were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." You know, Paul had a background too, persecuting Christians. And I'm guessing that Satan used that every opportunity he got to bring that before him and said, "You've got no value. Look what you did." Paul is forgetting what lies behind. I press on.
Amen.
As we encourage our brothers in Christ, we need to remind them that Christ values them. That everything, all that is behind. Because that handicaps, you know, men, there may be men in your assemblies, men here have struggled with sin, have failed. Failed marriages, failed relationships, failed businesses, failed as a parent. And it's easy to look at ourselves and say, "I have no value. What can I do?" Jesus said, "You have value. I laid down my life for the sheep." You have value just like the blind beggar had value. The good shepherd values the sheep, and the good shepherd cares for the sheep. He nurtures the sheep. When I was back in Virginia 20 years ago, the little town I was in Bridgewater, Virginia, was a little town, only, 1,000 people. But we were only 120 miles from Washington, D.C., and some of the bigger metropolitan areas. And so the little college in Bridgewater, Bridgewater College, would sometimes get some good speakers if they were on their way through. And one particular year, there was this guy who was an economist at George Mason University. His name is Walter Williams. Some of you may have heard that name. He filled in for, I don't know if he still does or not, filled in for Rush Limbaugh on his radio show several when he was out on vacation. And Walter Williams came to town. He's doing an economics presentation. It was free, so a couple of us said, "Well, sure, we'll go." And we go, and I don't remember much about that night. I'm not, I studied accounting, I wasn't that good in economics. But one thing I do remember Walter Williams said. He said, "You college kids, you're always looking for a cause." He said, that's good. He said, "I expect some of you here probably want to save the whales. That's a good cause for today, right?" And a few people in the back said, yeah, save the whales. He said, "I'm going to tell you what. You want to save the whales?" They said, "Yeah." So I'll tell you how to save the whales. Privatize the whales. He said, because if somebody owns the whales, they'll take care of them.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
is an owner.
Right.
Yeah. He's not a hireling. They're His sheep. And He laid down His life for the sheep. Why didn't the hireling? Why didn't he go after the sheep? Why didn't he fend off the wolf or lay his own life down? There's no ownership interest. Doesn't care about the sheep. You look back in that John 9 account with the beggar. You know, it's kind of easy to pick out, putting those two together, those two chapters. Those hirelings were those Pharisees that passed that blind beggar by. You know, he was one of their own. That account shows their callousness. They probably passed him by, maybe even daily. Where was the concern for the sheep? Somebody else steps in and does what they should have been doing, helping out the beggar, the blind man, receives his sight. Is there rejoicing on their part? No, they care nothing about the sheep. Is there rejoicing for the parents who've had a son blind since birth that's been subjected to begging? No, all they want to do is interrogate the parents. What do they sacrifice for the sheep? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to the shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. You were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Thus says the Lord, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them, and make them cease from feeding sheep, so the shepherds will not feed themselves any more, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. That was these Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. He was pronouncing judgment, and he was ready to take his flock. And he would do it. The good shepherd fulfills his prophecy. Well, what about the owner? Hold your finger in Ezekiel. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 11. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. The good shepherd cares about the flock. What did he do with the blind man? Back up, then, if you go over to John 9, verse 1, he saw him. He saw the blind man. He noticed him. He was looking. The good shepherd had his eyes open for his sheep. He noticed him. Verse 3, he defended him. You know, the disciples said, well, who was it that sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And Jesus said, what was it? Their sin, so that the work of God could be seen. He engaged him. Verse 6 is when it all starts. The spitting starts and the spittle gets formed and putting it on his eyes. The good shepherd cares. He told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He healed him. And then if you go back down, drop down to verses 35 and 38, he didn't leave him there. After he'd gone through his interrogation process, after his parents had been brought in, after the Jews had just wanted to see what it is that had taken place so they could figure out their defense and how they were going to put this behind him and get rid of Jesus Christ, Jesus sought him out. He went back and sought him out so that he could be a follower.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophecy goes on. Verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them out to their own land. And I will feed them on a mountain of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. We'll stop there. That's what the good shepherd did, and that's what the good shepherd does. Binds up the broken, strengthens the sick, seeks the lost, brings back the scattered. He cares about the sheep. Coach John Wooden, legendary coach, 10 national titles from UCLA, he said, people want to believe you are sincerely interested in them as persons, not just for what they can do for you. You can't fake it. If you don't mean it, people know it. Just as you know if someone were pretending to be interested in you. Jesus had no use for the pretenders there. And he's got no use for pretenders here. He laid down, he showed he cares for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. Yeah. And the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, their response is classic. Yeah. Junior high particularly, you know, kids are good at put downs. I remember in junior high there was one, and I have no idea where this originated, but it was one that the girls used to say to the guys. It said, it went like this. Some of you may be able to finish it. You're ugly, and your mother is ugly, and she dresses you funny. Your mother's ugly and dresses you funny. 8 words of pure put-down efficiency. I mean, you look at that put-down, and in that you've been told you're ugly. You've been told you're a goofball. You dress funny. You've been told you're incapable because you can't even do it yourself. Somebody has to dress for you. And in that, and not only is it somebody dressed for you, it's your mama. You're a mama's boy. Efficient use of a put-down. The Pharisees, they did it in 7. The Pharisees said, he has a demon and is insane. So they weren't going to be able to fight. They didn't want to bring up Ezekiel chapter 34, because which side of that chapter were they on? So we do the next best thing instead of try to fight with truth. Just cut it out at the legs. Personal attack. And that still goes on today. You be the person who looks for the truth. You know, I witnessed this Jay and I were talking about the debate yesterday from years back, and I grew up early in my adult life assembling with Chuck Dowdy and particularly his son, John Dowdy. And I know that Jay, prior to that debate, did kind of a debate warm-up where he basically did his presentation and asked for feedback from it. Chuck Dowdy did a debate warm-up too. He came and to our assembly, and it was just cutting the legs out before the debate ever got started. It was all personal attacks. There was a scripture thrown in here or there addressing something he'd taken Jay out of context to say, and then the whole thing was personal attacks. He brought in elders from back in Great Falls, my understanding. He talked about people, talked about eating disorders. He talked about people getting driven to on the brinks of suicide. He talked about all these things that were happening. And his son John had taped it. He put the tape from it because they tape everything. And after that, I asked for the tape.
He wouldn't
give it to me. And then 2 months later in the debate, he accuses Jay of withholding information from the congregations here in Montana. If you can't deliver the truth, just cut it out with personal attack.
Yep.
Jesus was the good shepherd. He knew who he was. He was owner of the sheep, and he took care of the sheep. He also led. A good leader knows, a good shepherd knows where he's leading. A good leader knows where he's going. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 9. But we do see him who was made a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. He's bringing many sons to glory.
Amen.
That's where the good shepherd is leading. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. For he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. A good shepherd leads by example. Christ left us an example to follow in his steps. Finally, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Great Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. He leads and He equips for every good work, everything pleasing in His sight. He empowers us to get the job done on the road to glory. You know, we're not hirelings. We're owners.
Right.
We are heirs. Fellow heirs.
There you go.
Joint heirs. We have an interest, ownership interest in the kingdom. So what are we going to do? 1 John 3:16. First John 3:16. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Amen.
We've got to know the value of the sheep. Place value on the sheep. And lay down our lives for the brethren. Know them. Know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Know those outside. Build the relationships. Lay down our lives. Care. Value the sheep. Care for the sheep in that same passage. But whoever has the world's good and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against them, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And then let us lead. Starting with our families. Starting with our wives. Starting with our sons. You know, for a lot of the same reasons that men struggle to know that they have value because of all the failures in the past, that really creeps up in being a deterrent to truly being a leader as a husband and as a father. Because if we failed in the past, we know it and they know it. Lead. Forget what lies behind. Press forward. Lead. Teach your children. Have them know the value. You know, we want our kids to know the value of a dollar, don't we? We really do. We want them to know the value of a dollar. We want them to know the value of an honest day's work. And we teach them those things diligently. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. If your kids are going to know the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, it's going to come because you teach them. Just as actively as if you were to teach, more so than the value of a dollar or a hard day's work, how are we doing on teaching our kids the surpassing value of knowing Christ? It's going to take when we rise up and we walk along the way and when we lie down, and just like Christ led with example, it's got to be with our example. Seek Him diligently with all we've got. I'm going to close with Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, and I delight in these things, declares the Lord. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. He values the sheep. Know the Shepherd. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask besides? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.